Stand by. Your Steve Jones Show audio is loading now. SteveJonesShow.com podcasts are sponsored by Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street, Sunbury, the beverage supermarket.
Sports talk where your voice counts. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Welcome. Great to have you with us. Today's show brought to you by Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury, the beverage supermarket. It's time to stock up for the weekend. Best in beer, imports, domestic, microbrews, soft drinks, snacks, a wide array of snacks, fresh hot roasted peanuts, and of course the pickle bar. All at Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury, the beverage supermarket. We're in the Sunbury Motors studio. Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury, Sunbury Motors, Key Routes 11 to 15, Hummel's Wharf. Willie Randolph, you know, we talked last week extensively about Chase Utley and into this week as well. And Kevin, of course, feels that Chase Utley is a Hall of Fame-worthy ballplayer. And Kevin's a big fan of Chase Utley and so forth. And as I said to him, I said, look, I see everything you're saying. It's just, I think you have, like, really good, which Chase Utley obviously is. Any team would love to have him. Any team. You can win championships with Chase Utley. But I don't know if he crosses the threshold to Hall of Fame. Then I mentioned Lou Whitaker, Alan Trammell, guys like that. Well, here's another guy I'm about to talk about and talk to, and that's Willie Randolph, Kev.
Yeah, we talked about that, yeah.
Really good ball player. Really, really good. Every team needs a Willie Randolph to win championships. They all do. I mean, a really good ball player. But does he cross the threshold to being in a baseball immortality to the Hall of Fame? Really, really good. Like Lou Whitaker, like Chase Utley. I mean, if I were to ask you over the last 30 years, would you like, if you were to ask the Yankees in the 1970s and 80s, would you love Chase Utley to be your second baseman? They would jump and say yes. If you were asked the Philadelphia Phillies in 2014 if they would love in his prime Willie Randolph to be their second baseman, they would, I think, emphatically say yes. Just really, really good. But really, really good doesn't sometimes translate to the Baseball Hall of Fame. I mentioned Dwight Evans. Really, really good. Hall of Fame? Probably not. Well, Willie Randolph has written a book entitled The Yankee Way, chronicling his years, and he spent 13 of his 18 major league seasons with the New York Yankees, then went on to be a third base coach, a bench coach, then the manager of the Mets. And Willie, welcome to the show. It is great to have you with us. What brought about writing the book, and what kind of thoughts flooded through your mind as you tried to put all this together?
Yeah, it was really, really tough to pick out the moments and the stories to convey, because that's so many, you know. And I wish I had, you know, maybe that's going to be the sequel, who knows. But but I just, you know, wanted to share some of my moments with fans around the country, because I've had the unique perspective for over four decades of being around great players, great championships, great moments, Hall of Famers who've touched me, and last few years being out of the game, it gave me a chance to really reflect, and I've never really talked about my career. And when I think back on how blessed and fortunate I've been, I thought it was the right time to do that. But but I tried to, you know, give the inside story about what really went on with the Bronx Zoo, some of the characters we were around, just great players, but just great people also, and how we were able to melt and mesh together. And in the 70s, the 80s, the 90s, just a great group of guys who understood how to play the Yankee way, and that's winning championships and playing the game right. So it was a labor of love, if you will, but it gave me a chance to really reflect back on how really fortunate and blessed I've been in my baseball career.
Well, you're a New York guy, born in Brooklyn, the whole deal, but you start out in the Pirates organization, actually played in the majors for the Pirates, and then the Pirates wanted Doc Medich, and then you're dealt along with Ken Brett and I think it was Doc Ellis to go to the Yankees. That is a life-changing moment. Can you put into perspective the moment you're traded, because obviously there's confusion on your part, and then in the end, how it all paid off?
Here I am again, like you said, a kid growing up in the sandlots of Brooklyn, New York. I was in Venezuela playing with the Pirates at the time, preparing myself for spring training, hopefully hang on with the team, because they had a lot of great second basemen, if you remember back then. You know, Dave Cash, Randy Stennis. So I was in the line of great guys that are coming up. Little did I know that I was surplus and they needed pitching, like you said. So when it came across the wire, I didn't believe it. My mom called me from New York. I was in Venezuela, like I said. And she said, "There's all these rumors about you coming to the Yankees." And I was like, "Nah, I'm not. What are you talking about?" She goes, "Yeah." So probably 2 weeks later, it came to fruition. And then it was just like, from then on to me, it's like storybook, the storybook. 21-year-old kid, you know, playing with the greats of the game, the Thurman Munsons and the Roy Whites and the Catfish Hunter, and doing that in your hometown. How cool is that, you know? So we got a chance to get right into the mix when Chambliss hit the home run in 76 to get us back into the World Series after all those lean years. And in 77, 78, when Reggie came in. So just a great, great charmed life, and just a story that I wanted to be able to share with the fans around the country. But as a youngster growing up, I'm thinking to myself, you know, I died and went to heaven, man. This is just an awesome experience for me.
People look at the 70s, and, of course, you just mentioned Chambliss' home run off Littell, and then, of course, Reggie coming in, and everyone called, as you mentioned, the Bronx Zoo. But when the doors were closed and it was the clubhouse, how great and professional actually was that clubhouse?
Oh, yeah. Solid. You know, we had a great time with some great characters. I mean, guys like Sparky Lyle, Greg Nettles had a very quick wit, would always keep you in stitches with one-liners. Mickey Rivers, a character, loved going to the track. You know, we would get on each other all the time. And that was really what I missed about the game, the camaraderie. You know, nowadays, you know, a lot of these kids are a little more thin-skinned than we were. We used to sit around and have a beer at the end of the game and just get on each other, needle each other, laugh. I wish I had a tape recorder back then. Where I could just hit a button, you know, and just play that stuff back. It would be priceless, you know. But we just had a great group of guys. Listen, you know, playing in New York is tough because you have the tabloids, and we had a very volatile owner. You know, it was chaotic with the Bronx Zoo, but we did have a love with each other, a brotherhood, and we really understood how when the game started, how to go out there and put it all together. A nice blend of, you know, veterans like Thurman, those guys, like I said. But when we brought in Mickey, myself, and some speed, that really kind of complemented the rest of the lineup, and we just had some great times back in the day.
A friend of mine went through the Yankee organization. He was in the minor leagues. And he said George Steinbrenner would always be in a golf cart down in Tampa.
Yeah.
And he'd come out, take a note, take a note, take a note. In other words, shirt hanging out.
Yeah.
Didn't shave that day. Things like that. Because obviously it was a no-beard policy that he had forever in New York. Does that set a tone in some ways, and does it? Do you think it translates with today's players?
Well, it does set a tone, and I believe that it's important for players to see ownership around. I mean, if you're a baseball guy and you understand the game, I think that, especially nowadays when they pay these kids a lot of money, and God bless them for that. But I think that's important for these kids to understand that you have to be held accountable also. See, the thing about George, that he paid you well back in the day, but he held you accountable for, you know, what you were doing there, Steve. I mean, he just, you know, demanded excellence. He wanted to have a championship and get the Yankees back to those glory days. And I think it's important for them to see management around where you have a relationship, you're in the same boat, and you look a kid in the eye and say, "Listen, you know what? Hey, I expect an effort from you today. I want you to get the job done." And then you form that relationship with them. So I miss that. Listen, at the time, it was tough. He was a tough boss. We didn't like him at times because he would get on us in the paper, you know, and stuff like that. But he loved the controversy. He knew that fed into the whole Yankee mystique and everything that went around that. So I miss George. I really do. When I managed the Mets, I used to tell Mr. Wilpon, you know, it's okay to come down and let the players see you, get to know them. You know, if you got to get on their butt, well, that's okay too, because I think that players need to understand that, you know, this is professional sports and you have an obligation to go out there and play as a team. So I like that about ownership, and I think there should be more of that going on.
I think, Willie, anybody who watched you over the years knows that you were the definition of a pro's pro. When you worked your way to be a manager, and that meant bench coach, third base coach, but mentors help. played for Billy Martin, but you also worked for Joe Torre and you worked with Don Zimmer. What did you pick up from that then that Willie Randolph then incorporated into being Willie Randolph, the manager?
Oh, that's a great question, because those guys were very instrumental and influential in my career. You know, a lot of people thought that I tried to be like Joe. I mean, I don't. That's not the case. Joe taught me a lot about how to communicate with players and the media, for that matter. Just a calming influence. He knew how to get the most out of his players through direct communication. You know, you knew where you stood with Joe, and he had that kind of fatherly, kind of calming influence. And I think you need that nowadays to stay on an even keel. That was always been my style. And watching Zim and talking baseball with him, you know, I got a feel for when to hit and run. You know, how you use the bunt. You know, how you use your aggressiveness on the field. And he loved to take chances. So he and Joe were a very good combination of fire and ice, if you will, and they complement each other really, really well. But Zimmer was just a walking encyclopedia, man. I just miss him so much. We're all going to miss him. Just the wealth of knowledge going back to the 50s with Jackie and just spanning almost 66 years in the game.
Yeah.
I'm going to miss him so much. Just a treasure of a man. And excuse me, I'm getting choked up here just talking about him.
Yeah, I understand. I completely understand that. One final question, then I'll let you go. Because, again, the bottom line is that they said you tried to be like Joe Torre. You're your own man. You just pick up bits and pieces from people. What did the game lose in Mariano Rivera retiring, and what will the game lose with Derek Jeter retiring?
These are guys that professionalism on and off the field. Not just on the field. We know how great they are on the field. They're first-time Hall of Fame, as far as I'm concerned. But to me, what they the field in New York, you know, under the microscope, you know, representing the organization and their families, to me, it's the model of how you handle yourself as a young professional nowadays. So I'm really so proud of them, not just because of their ability, but what they've done off the field, Steve. It's just amazing, you know, how they respect the game, how they give the game back to the young players. You watch these guys interact in the clubhouse, in the bullpen, on the bench. You know, they're constantly giving it up to these young players. And that's how I kind of came through the game, you know, with Willie Stargell and Thurman Munson, who taught me how to play the game. You know, I became captain of the Yankees later on, one of only eight captains of the Yankees.
Yeah.
Part of my job was to give it up to the Derek Jeters and the Don Mattingly. So it's all part of a legacy, and it's all part of being a part of a great organization. So to me, the way they handle themselves off the field, I'm just as proud of the way what they've done on the field.
And it's all in core book, The Yankee Way. Coaching and My Life Baseball by Willie Randolph. If you want to read a book from a pros pro, read Willie Randolph's book. It's not just a baseball book, it's a life book as well. Willie, thank you so much for the valuable time.
Thank you, Steve. Appreciate it, buddy. Enjoy.
Willie Randolph, Yankee great. And we'll come back with more in a moment. Today's show brought to you by Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury. On News 1070 WKOK.
While looking for a vehicle, you know that if it sounds too good to be true, chances are it is too good to be true. You get the runaround, gotta go from place to place. Well, you can just skip all of that and go straight to Sunbury Motor Company. Sunbury Motor Company has been satisfying more customers and selling more cars since 1915, so you know they've got it right. No offers that look good on paper or online, and then you get disappointed when you see them in person. Sunbury Motor Company offers a lineup few other auto dealers in the area can compete with. With the inventory of Ford, Hyundai, Kia, and Lincoln vehicles, there will be no problem finding the right vehicle that fits your needs and your budget. And the friendly, knowledgeable staff's ready and able to help you with everything from the test drive to the drive off the lot. See for yourself at Sunbury Motors. Sunbury Motors Ford, Lincoln, Hyundai in the North 4th Street Auto Plaza, Sunbury. And Sunbury Motors Kia, Routes 11 and 15, Hummel's Wharf. Look for them online anytime at sunburymotors.com.
Welcome back. Great to have you with us. Roll here at the Chateau, the Sunbury Motors Studio. Willie Randolph is, I think, the definition of a pro's pro. I think a lot of people, admire the kind of career he had. I think people admire the kind of how he handled himself over the years, whether, you know, with the Yankees, the Mets, whomever it happened to be. He was always a ball player that if you need to move a runner, he could move a runner. If you need to steal a base, he could steal a base. He was always fabulous at second base, whether playing his position, turning a double play, whatever it happened to be. And he wrote this book, and, you know, when you spend most of your life, it's one thing he meant. I mentioned Don Zimmer to him in the interview, which was important, because you're talking about a guy who literally, like Dick Hoke with the Steelers, never drew a paycheck outside of the sport. Hoke, who a Penn State graduate, Steeler running back coach, Dick Hoke never drew a paycheck from anywhere else except from the Steelers and professional football. Don Zimmer, from the time he came up through the Dodger organization, never drew a paycheck anywhere except from baseball. And Willie Randolph, the vast majority of his life, he drew his paychecks from baseball. I mean, lifers. I mean, yeah, you really have to be lucky, I think, to be in that kind of spot where you're drawing paychecks associated with a game for the vast majority of your life. Don't you think?
Anytime you're getting played to pay a game, I'm ecstatic.
I mean, to me, I think most people would be thrilled to have it that way. And I tell people in what I do, look, I wasn't good enough to play. I was good enough to play in high school. I was never even remotely good enough to play beyond anything in high school. And yet, I got into this, and it's an amazing journey. It really is, where you're associated with sports every single day. You get to talk about it, get to broadcast it, see it, have it in front of you, be a part of it, the whole, you know. And for a guy like Randolph, played it. Guy like Randolph coached it, managed it, bench coached it. I mean, that's quite a life. It's quite a life. And we thank him for the time he gave us today. Same thing with Tony DeFazio.
Speaking of baseball, Steve, Loyal Sox having a very, very impressive season again. Defended their class AA championship with a 5-1 victory today at Lebrano Park. Kyle Datras, standout that I think is going to North Carolina, if my memory serves correctly, came back from a Monday semifinal win and faced two batters over the minimum in the final five innings and finished off with 103 pitches.
Impressive. That's a great win. That is a great win.
He's a heck of a quarterback, too. A very, very talented athlete, both in football and in basketball, but baseball is definitely his sport that he loves the most.
Yeah.
His line was he struck out 6, walked 1, gave up 5 hits and a run in the complete game state championship win for the 23-5 Lancers.
Good. That's great.
And
congratulations to them.
On the girls' AA side, Central Columbia, Bald Eagle area get underway in about an hour out your way as well.
Yeah. That should be interesting. Central can hit. Central Columbia can hit. Bald Eagle area is really good. I hope the Central Columbia fans are willing to go out there and be massively outnumbered.
I think you're going to see a pretty nice amount of Central fans. They travel very, very well with their sports.
Don't suck up, Kev. They're going to say it's going to be 9-1.
No, I'm not saying that Bald Eagle area doesn't. Believe me, I know that very well. I'm just saying.
They're only 10 miles away.
I'm just saying.
they sold out the park the other day for the regional.
I'm just saying they travel well. By the way, Central, the team that Loyal Sox beat in the AA, 24-0 coming into that game. Yeah. I forgot to mention
that.
Yeah,
no, they were undefeated. I was going to mention that. So, as a matter of fact. Yeah. It's a great win for Loyal Sock. I mean, you can say you travel well, big dog, but when the other team is 10 miles away, I can tell you right now. Sorry.
Those Fighting Blue Jays travel well.
No Baldy Galeria, no sellout. Sometimes just a fact of life, and I know you love your area, but I have no dog in the hunt.
I unfortunately do. That's my alma mater.
Taking your calls at 800-795-9565. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motor Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Opening night for the Williamsport Crosscutters, by the way, at historic Bowman Field. I'll be leaving here in about 24 minutes to go up there.
Could be Brewers a wet Ray. Historic Bowman Field, though.
Well, the way the forecast reads, I mean, there's going to be a line of those showers going through at 5, 6 o'clock, but then it clears out after that, according to the forecast I have.
There's some really good seats at Bowman Field, too. If you've never been to Bowman Field, it is a very quaint place to watch a baseball game. I had really, really nice seats there.
Yeah. So, yeah, I think Gabe and his group do a really, really, really good job.
Oh, they got some great promotions really, through the year, yeah.
Really, you know, but they're just real pros. I mean, that's one of the things about being in the league that I think is fun. Gabe and his group just do a fabulous job up there. And I really, it takes a lot of hard work to do this. I know I talked yesterday, and I don't know if anybody's ever going to listen, but I mean, I think they should expand it by 14 games in a season, give 45 dates to everybody, and start Memorial Day weekend and kick it out to Labor Day. I think for the clubs, I mean, first of all, for the towns, it's good, and for the ballparks, it's good, but I also think for the development of players, it's good. I mean, why bother having it sitting in Florida where it's 93 degrees? Trying to play in the mornings and the afternoons all the time, we can get them legitimate competition on a night in and night out basis for 2 extra weeks. So
they have a really cool promotion tonight after the game, where you have an opportunity to win prizes and qualify for $1,000 gift card with the Lycoming Mall Launch-A-Ball.
Oh, good. That's good.
Now I would like to try it, but it would be, I'm looking for the get the ball past the pitcher's mound contest.
Yeah. Loyal Sock won the state championship in baseball today, defeating previously unbeaten Central at Medler Field, Lebrano Park. Central Columbia is going to be taking on Baldy Galeria for the softball championship at 5:30, weather permitting. Like I said, there's a line of rain that's supposed to move through here. Beard Field at Nittany Lions Softball Park drains very, very well. Drains very well, so that's not going to be an issue, I don't think. But right about the time where I think that is going to start, might be about the time the rain starts to fly through there. And we'll see. World Cup. We've talked about the scores. And
wow, they're in the 80th minute now, Steve, and Netherlands just scored again. It's now 5-1 Netherlands over Spain. 4 of the 5 goals coming in the second half.
Yeah. Here is the here's something I find interesting. I mentioned the 3-2 rating yesterday for Brazil-Croatia on ESPN. United States not involved. Afternoon game on a Thursday on ESPN. A 3-2 rating is gigantic. Demographics for soccer are really good, too. In that 25 to 54 range, which they love. And when you look at it, it also took a little bit less than 2 hours to play. Football, of course, is loved in this country, but, you know, we're used to three-hour games on Saturdays and Sundays. It's the norm, 1 o'clock to about 4 o'clock, maybe a little bit under 3 hours. You come to Penn State on a football Saturday, kickoff at noon, usually done just before 3, and football's an event kind of situation. And when you have fewer games in a season, 12 in the regular season of college football and 16 in the regular season for the NFL, it magnifies each one, and people, I don't think, mind spending 3 hours. When you have longer seasons that entail 82 and 162 games respectively, time does become an issue. And when you look at the World Cup, they played, it's a running clock, 90 minutes, break at the half, break isn't that long. Maybe there's some extra time put on at the end. Yesterday, Brazil-Croatia went, 4 minutes and 45 seconds over. So they went 94-45. But they were done in less than 2 hours. And the clock is constantly moving, and there's usually, I'd say, 90-plus percent of the time action. National Hockey League game actually takes about 2:15 to play now. 2:15, maybe 2:20 to play an NHL game now. You know, whatever time it is, it's, you know, to get the Zamboni out and clear the ice, boom, doesn't take long. And the NHL's in that range. The NBA game's about 2.5. Soccer's 2 hours, less sometimes. So, and again, we've talked about the baseball thing. They don't follow the rules. You go deep into the night, and everybody goes, okay. I mean, do I have 4.5 hours that I want to invest in a Red Sox-Yankees game? I'm a diehard Red Sox fan. I don't want to invest 4.5 hours watching the whole thing. I mean, I'll go and I'll come back sometimes like an hour later, and still the same guy's up. Now, but... Just kidding. But, you know, the way we do things today, time is an issue. Now, I talked about doing State College in Williamsport tonight. They move, you know, in minor league baseball, Kevin, they move it. A lot of those games are in the 210 to 220, 225 range. You know that?
Yeah, those guys aren't at the stage where they're cleaning their cleats every at-bat.
Well, the umpires make it move. They move it, and they have a one-foot-in-the-box rule. They enforce it. And when nobody's on base, pitchers move it. I mean, they really do move it. If you can't put the Velcro on your gloves on correctly the first time, you should not be in the major leagues.
Yeah, you have to really reevaluate your career.
But, I mean, this is when the United States plays Ghana on Monday, I'm telling you, it's going to get a World Series size rating. Yeah, and I'll watch. I'll watch. The United States is going to play. I watched the last part of Brazil-Croatia, so I was actually watching when the rather odd call was made to provide the PK. But, wow. I mean, I thought, okay, welcome to the World Cup. But I watched some of that yesterday. You know, I also flipped back and watched the U.S. Open as well because I love golf. And I realized, you know, at this stage of my life, I mean, look, I'm from an era where football, basketball, hockey, baseball, golf, tennis, big auto race, big horse race. Okay? You know, Kentucky Derby, Preakness, Belmont Stakes, Indianapolis 500, Daytona 500, Pocono, Wimbledon, U.S. Open, French Open, some, maybe a little bit of Australia, whatever. But Wimbledon, U.S. Open. Golf, Masters, U.S. Open, British Open, PGA, I'll watch them. NHL, love it. We'll watch it. NBA, college basketball, college football, NFL, Major League Baseball. That's the era I was from. But I do recognize that in this modern era of 2014, soccer is on the move in this country. It is on the rise. You can see in the TV, you can see it in the Barclays Premier League. NBC now has that contract. I have friends who, you know, one guy's an Arsenal fan, another guy's Liverpool, somebody else I know is Man U, somebody else is Man City. I don't know if anybody roots for Stoke, but that's all right. But, you know, they watch it. They follow it all the time. They know who all the players are. They follow it and love it. British Premier League soccer. We've had Tony Knopp on the show, the CEO of Spotlight Ticket Management. He has talked repeatedly about that corporate money is flowing soccer's way. That they're excited about having corporate money flow soccer's way. And now you see the World Cup. Now, it would behoove the sport in this country if the United States could win at least one, if not a couple, here in the opener in their pool.
Yeah, but according to the coach, they can't.
Well, they can't win the World Cup. You know, he has said that. I mean, I'll make a comment on that in a moment. But when you look at... if they could win, the United States in 2002 did well in the World Cup. It really kind of gave the sport in this country some juice, a boost. Did not do well in 6, did not do well in 10. I think people want to see if the product that is developed in this country is improving. It's a country of 335 million. Now, as time goes, and we know the demographic, I think everyone would concede that. We also know that more individuals are crossing the border all the time. Look what's happened in the past week with the children. That's a population that, for the most part, has grown up on and loved the sport of soccer. As time goes, does that then change the love for the sport in this country? As time goes, does that mean we develop some of our own stars in this country? Is that what it could mean down the road because of the change in demographics in this country over the next 10 to 20 years? It's just something to ponder and think about. Will it be like the NFL? No, nothing's like that. The NFL is entrenched, and there's an incredible love for the NFL in this country. And I think the way it's structured with 16 games, limited opportunities, so forth, it has been America's pastime for at least 45 years now. But you look at soccer, in a world where the attention span is not tremendous, boom, less than 2 hours, we're done. And the United States will face Ghana on Monday, and they're going to be locked in. Now, as for Jurgen Klinsmann, I find it really interesting that in the past week to 10 days, Jurgen Klinsmann has been praised in some corners for being realistic that the United States can't win the World Cup. He's being honest. He's been praised, correct?
Not by me.
Okay. Yet Tim Duncan was criticized for saying, look, we're going to get it done this time.
I'd much rather hear somebody say, listen, we're going to get it done. Now, I don't want it to go to the extreme. Like, there is absolutely no way we're losing this. This is a lock. Don't even bother showing. Right. You know, there's an extreme to every side. But to say that you're not going to win, I that's not what I want to hear as a fan.
You just need to go out there and be honest and say, look, our group is one of the toughest groups out there. we're definitely better than we were. I really like my team. I'm confident in my team. I also know we're going to have to work to get out of our group. Right? If we can get out of our group, hey, then all bets are off the table and we'll see how it falls. What's wrong with that? Didn't oversell it, didn't undersell it. So, that's where we are. Okay, time to take a break. Brewers Outlet. Now, you got to take a break. You might as well go over there. We'll talk more about them in a moment. Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury, our Friday sponsor on News Radio 1070 WKOK.
The best get-togethers start with a trip to the beverage supermarket, Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street, Sunbury. Why? Because Brewers Outlet has not only a great selection of beer, including imports and microbrews, but also a lot more. Brewers Outlet has water, soda, they roast their peanuts every day, and you can't forget about stopping by the pickle bar. Look for great deals on wine coolers and all your favorite snacks. Before you enjoy those special times with family and friends, make your visit first to the beverage supermarket, Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street, Sunbury.
Little Roy Orbison here on the Friday edition of the show. Carvel in Lewistown, or Lewisburg. Hi, how you doing today?
Great. How are you guys?
Doing well. Thanks for asking.
Well, I wanted to just call and say how much I appreciate your program. And Steve, you need to take it easy on Kevin, because after listening to ESPN Sports and Fox Sports, Kevin can run circles around those guys.
Well, I appreciate that.
First of all, I absolutely agree with you on that. So
really, he does a great job. I mean, there's times he's had to fill in for you and for whether a brief time or what have you. And you do a great job. I enjoy your show. I listen a lot. Yeah. It's the first time I've called.
Well, it's great to have you with us.
Questions about Penn State. Some Penn State players that one, Matt McGloin, I understand he's now a backup to a couple other guys, but I also want to ask questions about Sean Lee. What's the prognosis with him after his injury? Navarro Bowman after his injury. And a long time ago, my first football game was in 1959. I saw Penn State and Colgate playing Beaver Field. And but since then, there was a player long after that, actually, by the name of Booker Moore. And I know that he had some health issues. And I'm just curious as to what's happened to some of these players recently and some of those guys from the past.
Okay. Okay, here we go. Let's start with Booker Moore. Had Barry Guillaume syndrome. And
right.
He was a first round pick of the Buffalo Bills, and I think he was like the 26th overall choice in the draft. And then he developed Barry Guillaume syndrome. And I was like, oh my goodness, you have to be kidding me! I mean, you know, in terms of the timing of life, because they had moved him from tailback to fullback here. And of course, Booker passed away. I want to say 5 years ago. He was only 50 years old when he passed away.
I didn't know that.
He was only, he passed away, I think, in 2009.
Mm-hmm.
Matt McGloin, you asked about. Matt McGloin, right now, his biggest problem is going to be Derek Carr, who was the first-round pick of the Raiders. Matt, I think, has put himself in a position where he can be a competent, reliable backup and can get a few years out of his career by being a good, competent backup. Because when he played last year, for the NFL, his arm strength is okay, but his guts and his smarts and knowing the offense are to his benefit, and a lot of teams like to have a guy like that on the roster. He'll stick.
Right.
Sean Lee underwent successful knee surgery for a torn ACL on Wednesday. The prognosis on him is excellent, according to his doctor. He'll have to sit out the upcoming season. But they think he should be back, according to the doctor, back and 100% by about this time next year. And because it happened a couple of weeks ago in an OTA, by the time they actually start playing games, it'll be a 15-month gap. And at that point, that knee should be strong, because 15 months is the optimum time to have bounce back from an ACL like that. You asked about
Navarro Bowman.
About Navarro Bowman. Navarro Bowman, they had hoped in San Francisco that he would be back by midseason. That's not going to happen. Even they now concede it's not going to happen. Bowman could be back with them if they decide not to put him on an IR deal for the entire year. They hope to have him back maybe around Thanksgiving. That's a big loss for San Francisco, and they know it, because Bowman had really played himself into being one of the top four or five linebackers in the entire league. You can debate back and forth on San Francisco between Patrick Willis and Navarro Bowman, which one's better. But Bowman's injury was a severe injury that happened in the NFC Championship game against Seattle on what was a phenomenal play by him. But at the same time, they think that it may not be until Thanksgiving. The original was, oh, no, he'll be back by midseason. Thanksgiving probably at the earliest for him, because it was that severe.
Mm-hmm. Well, thank you for those updates. I'm definitely a big Penn State fan and enjoy hearing the Penn State news, but I am impressed by your knowledge of so many different sports.
Thank you.
And my wife and I are often in the car together, and we hear you, and she says, wow, he really does know about a lot about this and a lot about that. And it is impressive. You do a great job with the radio and, with Penn State and with Jack Ham. And just wanted to say I appreciate it very much.
Well, we appreciate your comments very, very much, and what you just said about knowing a lot of different things. Kevin's a big, big help when it comes to that. Kevin's really, really smart. So I'm very lucky every day to have him here.
He's a good guy. Know him, but we do know someone in common, and that would be, because I'm from Danville, Bob Buhner.
Absolutely.
Buhner, yes.
So Bob will know my name if you mention it to him. But you guys do a great job. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Thank you so much. Have a great weekend. Kev, you have a great weekend. I know you've got to hit the sporting goods stores, get the latest equipment. You're still using Cooper Pucks. Get a dozen of those.
Okay, and there's no IndyCar race this weekend, so I can actually watch the World Cup.
You're going to be watching wrestling all day.
That's what I'm going to be doing tomorrow. You're right. Beautiful day. I'm inside.
I got to give you credit on that one. That has more guts and patience than I have.
Beautiful day. I'm inside. You're outside for baseball, though.